for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Hello, welcome, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever time you're listening. Thank you for tuning in. I, as always, am Colin Delaney. In a moment, I will be joined by my tag team partner, Cheech, and this is Dreamwork, a podcast where a tag team talks about tag teams. And what if I told you that there was a tag team that was only together for 4 months and won the WWF tag team titles 3 times. Yup, because that happens with this week's team. I mean, they were two of the biggest stars going, The Rock and Mankind, but I feel like The Rock and Sock Connection were around forever. But in doing the study, they were around for a very short period of time, and yeah, just mind-blowing. The Attitude Era Mega Powers. 4 months, 3 tag team title reigns. Crazy. I have already started my research for next week's episode. We reveal at the end of this one who we are doing next week. So listen to the end and you will find out. But it is an ambitious task. So it requires some extra thought and some extra work. So I've already gotten started. But that is next week. This is this week. And this week we are talking about The Rock. We are talking about Mankind. We are talking about The Rock and Sock Connection. Hey, Cheech.
Hey, Colin.
How is winter treating you?
It's cold.
It's we live in New York, so it's expected. We're not in Texas, thankfully. For once in our lives, we can say that.
Yes. Luckily, we are not in Texas.
During the winter months, usually I'd love to be there, but it looks like they are literally falling apart.
Yeah, they just aren't. They just aren't prepared for these type of things. Just flat out aren't.
And we are grizzled winter veterans up here.
Oh yeah, we are. A buddy of mine actually moved down there, and I'm just like, "Ooh boy, you're used to it," but they definitely are not. I've seen some pictures; like, it's bad down there.
I lived in Tennessee for a little bit, and yeah, even just like a dusting of snow is like shutdown type of stuff. So a couple inches all the way down in Texas is like just bonkers.
My favorite was over in England. It snowed like just enough to like cover the ground, and like everyone like stayed indoors and stuff. And I was like, "What is going on, people?"
Yeah, we're just we're ready for it up here. We basically live it for like 9 out of the 12 months.
Oh, don't be that hyperbolic.
Oh, I'm going to be that hyperbolic.
All right. Well, I mean, if you're going to be hyperbolic, you can be this week, because the team we're covering is quite hyperbolic.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this. We talk about often how, you know, we haven't repeated a single wrestler yet, despite the fact that wrestlers, you know, participated in multiple tag teams. These two gentlemen, this is probably the only time we're going to cover either of them.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I can't, like... Yeah, I don't know who else we would dig into for either guy. So I think
my only thought is that Mick Foley, Mankind, Cactus Jack, whatever, he's had a bunch of different partners, but not for anything like long. Neither was this one, but this was definitely the most prolific.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so Rock and Sock Connection. I mean, it's so like it's Mega Powers, right? Like it's basically Mega Powers.
I thought the same thing.
and just like Mega Powers, I thought I knew it wasn't a long time, but I didn't think it was this small amount of time.
Oh no, they're here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, I was surprised by a lot of the Rock and Sock Connection, because and also, I mean, growing up being of this age, that's like right in my wheelhouse. That like 99, that's like etched me as a human being.
So,
oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
So it all seems like it was like forever to me. Even though I knew it was short, it seems so much longer.
Okay, so you ended up being surprised by it, but what were your preliminary thoughts? Because I was the one that kind of threw this out there, and you were like, interesting. So I want to know, what were you thinking when I threw that out there?
I guess I knew it was a little Mega Powers-ish. I didn't think they were around for very long. I guess what I remember about the Rock and Sock Connection is, like, the skits and stuff. So I was like, oh, you know what? I would like to dig in and see what they did in the ring.
Okay, yeah, I feel like I just caught you way off guard, and you were like, oh, really? And I was like, I just threw it out there, and you were like, yes. I was like, all right.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's one that, because a lot of times we go back and forth between a lot of these same teams that were either kind of, you know, maybe we'll do it eventually, not now. What do you think about this one? But this team has never come up.
Yeah, no, it definitely, yeah, it's true. I don't know why. It just came to me and I pulled it out, and yeah, you were okay with it. So
what were your preliminary thoughts in pulling it out of the bag?
What were my preliminary thoughts? I don't know if I really had any. I was just like, okay, like, they're definitely like a top tag team. You know what I mean? Like, love them or hate them. Yeah, I got like, say, Mega Power vibes. I got some weird impressions early on in my viewing that kind of went Mega Power-y, but then it ended up changing. So early on, yeah, I don't know. My initial thoughts were just like, oh, okay, it's an interesting team. I mean, it was one of those things where I was like, we've never brought it up, but I was like, oh, we definitely would do that team, though.
Yeah, for sure. They're like, I'm pretty sure, I mean, we'll get to it, but I'm pretty sure I watched every tag match they had.
Oh, okay.
I looked at the list and I was like, well, if you remove these house show matches and you remove the, like, the multi, like, the six mans and the wacky other handicap matches, I think I got them all.
Okay. Yeah, that was the thing. Yeah, once I looked into it, I was like, oh, okay, they don't have too much. But I don't know, I didn't think it was more or less than I had thought, like you did.
Yeah, I thought maybe they had other, I don't know, I definitely didn't think they were around for 4 months.
It definitely didn't feel like, yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, they had their tag run was definitely like an isolated thing, but I always felt like they were always associated a little bit.
Yeah, so maybe that's why I think it's a little longer. And just because they're associated like that, I would have just thought that there's like outlier tag matches somewhere, you know?
Yeah, there were a couple that I didn't remember.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's get into the championships and accomplishments.
Yeah, they had some.
So this one right out, and I watched all these matches, but the number still made me go, whoa. They are 3-time WWE tag champs. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's staggering.
That's 3 times in 4 months.
Yeah. Boy, I wonder if that was during that time when people said they hot potatoed titles around.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much more hot potato you can get than 3 times in 4 months.
Oh, no, definitely. But no, I know there was like one year where they were like, there were 127 title changes this year. And I was like, what?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably 99.
It probably could be.
So other statistics, they are ranked number 34 on the Sports Illustrated Top 50.
See, there you go.
And WWE, where do you think WWE put them on the top 50?
Oh, probably in like the higher than 20.
You are correct. They're 14 on the WWE Top 50 tag teams of all time.
I was going to say, I figured they'd rank high because, yeah, they should definitely rank high.
I never go through that list because it's WWE, so I always consider it's wacky bias.
Yeah.
And me looking at it today made me go, oh, yeah, this list is super wacky bias. The Steiners are like 38. The Rock and Sock Connection is like 14.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Woo! So yeah, so that's really it for their accomplishments. But three-time tag champs in 4 months.
Oh, wait. I was hoping for there was no, like, they came in third place for, like, PWI Team of the Year or something, nothing like that.
No.
Ah, oh, dang it. I bet you they still had, like, I bet you even in spite of this tag run, they probably still had, like, tons of singles accomplishments and were probably, like, higher on, like, singles things, even though they had a big three tag team title run.
Yeah. I honestly, they probably did. It's, I don't know what they did for the rest of 99. But yeah. It seems like they're pretty entrenched in some other shit.
Oh yeah, definitely are. And we see it. We'll get to it in the matches. We definitely know what they're entrenched in other things.
All right. So let's get down to what matches we watched.
Okay, since you went and you thought you got them all, let's see which ones did you watch. You go first.
Okay, so we go Taker and Big Show first. Then Triple H and Shane McMahon. Then there is a Triple H and Kane. Then there's a New Age Outlaws. Then there's a Bulldog and Val Venus. Then there's an Outlaws. Then there's a Hollies. Then there's a Boss Man and Albert. Then there's a Hollies. Then there's an Al Snow and Jericho. Another Outlaws, a Dudley Boys. And then I finish with the Evolution WrestleMania 20.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I think you got more than me.
I did everything that I was able to find that didn't include like they did like 4-on-2 matches against DX and stuff. And it's like, I'm not watching that. Or they did like them and somebody against different people. But that was all the Evolution one. I popped on there at the end because I was like, you know what? I bet this is a lot of fun. And I was right.
Okay, here, let me go through my, because basically we basically saw all the same ones, but my order was a little different. I had the Triple H Shane, then a New Age Outlaws. I for some reason, okay, did you have trouble with the network? Like, if I looked up Rock and Sock, it just gave me all the SmackDown stuff. So I watched, like, all their SmackDown stuff, which was a Hollies match. But then I was like, this is weird. They had more matches. Then I had to, like, look them up as, like, Raw. I had to look them up in different permutations to get, like, all the Raw matches, where I saw the Triple H and Kane, the Al Snow and Y2J. Then I saw the Hollies had a Raw one, the Dudleys had a Raw one. Bulldog and Venus was on Raw. Yeah, they had all these Raw ones that weren't under Rock and Sock, because that's where I saw the Big Show and Taker was on Raw. Then the New Age Outlaws had was more their SmackDown deal. Then I saw the New Age Outlaws at Armageddon, because I figured, all right, I did all the pay-per-views at the end. And then, yeah, the last one I saw, same thing, was the Mania one, just because I was like, all right, I'm going to do pay-per-views at the end, because they only had two. And I was like, I'll do Mania last, because it's the bigger pay-per-view. And, yeah, it was better than I remembered.
Yeah, so I... You know, we always talk about, like, TV matches versus pay-per-view matches, and they only had two pay-per-view matches, and one of them was 4 years after their run.
I know. That was the thing. I was surprised. I was like, oh, okay, let me see if they had any pay-per-views, and it was, like, two. And I was like, really?
Man, once we're going to get into it right now, but a lot of what I wrote revolved around what Mick Foley was wearing.
Oh, really? Why do you feel okay? Do you feel like his outfit choices were symbolic of maybe his work rate?
I don't know. I just, like, there are times, like, I realized pretty early, like, let's see. Yeah, like one of the first couple matches, he's in just like Walmart, your dad mows the lawn sneakers.
Yeah.
And then
sweatpants that you mow the lawn in.
Yeah, and then he moves into, and he's got like high like white Asics, and I was like, oh, okay, look, he's got like little short boots, little short white boots, for like a month and a half, and then he's back in sneakers. By the end of the year, he like in September he's in Walmart sneakers. End of September he is in Asics, and then by beginning of December, he is back in the Walmart sneaks.
I love that you kept track of his footwear.
They get these close-up shots, and I'm just like, look at those things. Those are like, yeah, the beat-up old Walmart shoes that your dad mows the lawn in.
Yeah, they weren't the Asics. They were like the Avias. Remember those ones?
Yeah, but then for like a couple months, he had like wrestling kicks, like high-ankled white wrestling kicks. And I was like, oh, those are nice. Oh, maybe I think that's more what I remember. And I was like, oh, no, that's not right. They're already gone.
Oh, okay. See, I thought it was a little bit indicative of how he worked, because like there's like the one tag match where like he doesn't participate, and I feel like he looks like the schlubbiest there. But then like, you know, when he's got the Rock and Sock jacket on, he feels like he's at his most best and he feels a little more hyperactive. And I was just like, oh, okay, it is like his outfits do kind of go with how he's feeling.
And then, can we talk about the blue shirt?
Yeah. What? You got a problem with the blue shirt?
Yes, where's the blue shirt come from? I don't remember that blue shirt ever.
I don't know. Recently, I've been on a kick of there needs to be more blue in wrestling because it doesn't go with anything because most of the wrestling is black. But yeah, so I was okay with the blue.
Yeah, he comes out in the blue shirt at Armageddon, and then he wears it the next night against the Dudleys as well. I think that's the last we ever saw of the blue shirt.
Yeah, it looks a little gym teachery.
Yeah, it's all like cut up too. It's like, what
Well, of
happened?
course.
It's not. It can't be that he couldn't find a white shirt. Like his luggage got lost. You easily can find a white shirt.
I want to say he accidentally washed it with his black joggers, and it's really just gray mix mash of the colors. He washed them incorrectly.
It's not a bad guess.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so. From the top, Taker and Big Show is their first match together, and they win the tag titles
Yep.
first night. That's another that happens a lot in tag team wrestling, I've noticed since we've been doing this.
Well, I mean, as the incumbent team, it's hard to deal with these, mega teams where they're just thrown together or you just see them for the first time.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And early on, like the Taker and Big Show match, Taker leaves because Paul Bearer's got something to tell him. I almost stuck around to be like, what was it that Paul Bearer had to tell him? But I didn't. And then the Triple H and Shane match has Billy Gunn interference, and then that it's just like a lot of shenanigans.
Yes, but one thing I liked about the Shane match was there was a method to the madness in that like Shane would always get his butt kicked and well and Triple H wouldn't, of course. But you know what I mean? Like there were whenever they were beating on like the only time they'd get Mankind would get beat on would be via Triple H. And then anytime Shane would get in there, he'd try and start something and then he'd immediately get beat up. So I was like, okay, at least they're showing that, like, okay, Shane's not really on their level. So anytime he gets in there, he kind of gets beat up. So I was like, okay, they do have some psychology in there. There is methods to the madness. You know what I mean? In my head, I was kind of worried a little bit of it might be a little mega powersy, which I will get to my comparison in a second. But you know what I mean? I was afraid it might just be, a cosmetic pairing more than anything.
Yeah, I think they have a right off the rip, they have a very fun dynamic. I think the Taker and Big Show match is a lot more fun than it needed to be because they really put it over there because it's their first time teaming. You know, they do the double people's elbow at the end, which is fun. They aren't really the smoothest together, but they almost play off the fact that they're not smooth together, which is kind of fun, you know?
Exactly. Yes, and then the what also makes that match good is like Big Show has a story to tell that like it's one of those matches where supposed to show that he's good and stuff. Like he does that big flying double clothesline. I was like, why has he never done that again? It looks so good.
Yeah, he was on at the end. It's like, man, Rock and Mankind go over, but Big Show is on a tear before they put him down.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Because his whole thing with Taker was he was under the learning tree and yada yada yada. But this is one of those matches where he wasn't looking bad; he was looking good, and it was very much because Rock of Mankind did make him look good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. The Rock and Sock wrestled the New Age Outlaws almost every other match.
Basically, yeah. Because well, they kind of had a feud. They had a feud that was like their biggest feud, basically.
Well, the first time they wrestled them, that was when the New Age Outlaws got back together after being apart.
Yeah.
Which is when Rock and Sock loses the titles for the first time, only for them to win them back, to lose them again, to win them back.
Yep, they had a very well, they very up and down, very up and down.
Yeah, the first New Age Outlaws match, Rocks and Track Pants. I have a lot of notes about what people were wearing. I was very intrigued. I was like, what's going on? Why? What are these outfits? What's happening?
Okay, well then here, let me get to my comparison that I was thinking of the Mega Powers, because I don't know, I watched the first couple matches and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, they're totally like, you know, the Attitude Era Mega Powers. Cool. And I was like, I wonder what kind of dynamic if they'll have the same thing. And for like the first couple matches I saw, I was like, oh crap, is this going to be like Mankind's working circles around the Rock, like how Macho kind of was for when he was teaming with Hogan? I was like, because I saw a couple of matches there, and I was like, wow, Mick looks really good. And then, like, Rock would just come in, hit, like, two or three moves, and it was done. I was like, oh, is he just Hoganing it, kind of? You know what I mean? But then as I kept on watching, I was like, oh, no, no, no. The Rock definitely can, you know, get down in boogies. You know what I mean? But there are a couple matches there I was like, oh, this seems a little bit like the Mankind show.
Yes, at times, definitely. But when they're against the Outlaws, The Rock and Billy Gunn love to do at least one spot where they run at 100 miles an hour together.
Did you notice their clunkiness?
Yeah, a little bit. But
exactly. Made a better. I like working with Billy Gunn. I still hold it.
They're going a million miles an hour.
Yeah, Rock don't want to do that. He has to do that to keep up with Billy because Billy's crazy. Billy even messes up when he has his shirt over his head and he feeds too quick. It's crazy.
Dude, that spot was awesome, for the record.
It was, totally was. That match was a whole lot of shenanigans. So I was like, oh, they just thought of a bunch of, like, funny ha-ha stuff and linked it all together.
But they built that ha-ha over the last couple months because they wrestle each other at least once a month, and each of those matches has a little bit more shenanigans than the last.
Oh, definitely. And tell me when you watch those matches, you're just like, boy, how fun would it have been to wrestle the Road Dogg?
I've wrestled the Road Dogg.
Okay, was he as great to wrestle as he looks?
He was, yeah, 100%.
Everybody look, you know what I mean? Because, like, Billy's a mile a minute going, so it's, like, it's funny when, like, I was, like, I would always take note. I was, like, it's not quite Rock and Sock to take heat on someone, but no, they're going to take heat on Road Dogg for a little bit.
So they seem to work, you know, the Rock and Sock are a little not the smoothest and almost on purpose, but probably not necessarily on purpose, but they just go with it because it works.
Yes.
But they work relatively well with everyone except for the Hollies.
Yeah, that was definitely a bit of a styles clash because I feel like the Hollies were in a really weird position and didn't know what to do.
Yeah, like that's one where every other match, you know, there's someone in the same league or they're like, you know, teetering up towards the top, except for the Hollies, who, by the way, the Rock and Sock Connection lose the WWE tag titles to.
Yep, definitely do. They definitely take an L.
But they do not work well with the Hollies. I don't know if it's the fact that, like, yeah, the Hollies are I don't know, not prepared to work at that level. It was the main event.
Well, that's the thing. I think it was easier for them to work with top guys because it was like, okay, we know how to do this because it's 50-50. I don't think they knew how to wrestle with guys so much beneath them technically, and then the Hollies were still just didn't know how to like work to someone so much higher on the card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I felt bad for them because I was excited. I was like, ooh, a Hollies match? And I already knew the result was that the Hollies win the tag titles. I was like, all right, let's go. And then
there are a few glimpses. There are a few times in there where things are smooth and you're like, oh, okay, see if they could just get into this groove. But no, it always gets – anytime they get in a groove, they're quickly out of it.
Yeah, I did feel bad. And then we have the team of what I describe as Colin would have loved in 99 – the Al Snow Chris Jericho team.
Oh, right. Am I right? Am I right? You are right. I agree.
When I saw that was the team, I was like, oh, 1999 Colin would have loved the idea of this team.
I just loved it because it was that match more than anything I felt was vintage 1999. You know what I mean?
Can we talk about the attempted double missile dropkick by Al Snow and Chris Jericho?
Yes. Hear me. This is me banging on my chair agreeing with you. Yes, this is not Smoky Mountain. I know you guys were boys in Smoky Mountain and thought, oh, I'm just as athletic as Lance Storm. You guys are not.
Wow. I was, as I'm watching them go up, I'm like, what could they even possibly be thinking of? And then Jericho goes for the dropkick, and then Al Snow, a couple seconds later, still tries the dropkick.
Yeah, man. I'm so glad you caught that. But yeah, my brain immediately went to, oh, they saw, or Al saw him and Lance Storm do it in Smoky Mountain, was like, oh, let's do that thing we did.
It did not work. I do love the random Al Snow intertwined in this whole thing, which I did not remember that well.
Yeah, like I remember him being like, I thought he was more just like the buddy that bumped up against him. I didn't realize there was the whole like he's interfering in matches and all this stuff and the totally convoluted boy, I'm gonna be in the back as a masked referee just on the off chance that the ref might get knocked down and then I could slide in and screw him and then count the fall for the other team, but then I take my mask off so it's me, so I guess it doesn't count, and then they just keep wrestling and the other ref counts to three and then that means Rock and Sock win. Yay.
Yeah, I definitely don't remember all of Al Snow's involvement in the history of the Rock and Sock connection, for sure.
I knew he had a thing with Mick, and I knew obviously when Mick was with Rock, it kind of intertwined a little bit. But yeah, I didn't remember it being this much.
Also, that Chris Jericho Al Snow match ends with a rock bottom to Chris Jericho on the ramp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard the big clang. I was like, what? Because I think I was writing notes or something. I heard the big kaboom. I was like, what the heck? I was like, of course.
Holy smokes. Yeah, Al Snow. I would have thought that's an Al Snow bump for sure, but it was a Chris Jericho bump.
Yeah, and I just liked it. My notes were vintage Y2J promo at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I like the China attacking him. I was like, oh, yeah, that was a thing too.
Yeah, and then because that leads right into Armageddon. I was going through the match listing in Armageddon. I was like, man, the payoffs for a lot of things they've been talking about, because this is basically what we watch is basically every week of TV from August through December, give or take.
Basically, yeah.
So a lot of the things they've been talking about or hyping up are like blowing off at Armageddon. So it's like, yeah, there's the China and Jericho match. There's another one that I was like, oh yeah, we did get a little bit of the build to this.
Now, okay, what did you think of the Bulldog Venus match?
So The Rock takes a heat in this one, which is the first time that had happened.
Yeah, okay.
I thought he was never going to take it, honestly. I was like, oh, this team's definitely got a thing, and it's Mankind gets beat up and The Rock comes in and makes a save. But this one, we get it switched around. This is another one. I remember this era of Bulldog. I remember Bulldog getting rock bottomed into fake dog poop.
I was gonna say, let's not bring up the poop.
I remember it all, but I don't remember like Val Venus's involvement. Like he's weird for me in this one, just like Al Snow being like wacky intertwined heel is. I was like, I don't remember this weird Val Venus bad guy run where he would be teaming with the British Bulldog against the Rock and Sock connection.
Okay, but I did appreciate in that match. I go, wow, Venus and Bulldog are at least working real hard.
Yeah, no, they definitely are. Val Venus, say what you will about him. He kept the job for a very long time for a reason. He is real good at making people look good.
Yeah, no, I was surprised. I was like, wow, it's an odd pairing. Let me see. Like, okay, I'll put it out there. I thought they definitely did better than the Hollies.
Oh my God, yeah. But you're talking about a couple vets.
Oh no, I know, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean, they both matches seemed kind of cold, so I was just like, oh, okay, let's see how it goes. And I was like, wow, the kind of more technically more makeshift team of Bulldog and Venus, I thought did better than the Hollies, obviously, which is it's totally different dynamics. I get that, but you know what I mean, in my head, I was like, okay, they both have the equal chance of being a stinker.
Yeah, but the Hollies matches are significantly worse.
Oh, yeah,
So the one real pay-per-view match we get during their run is, of course, against the Outlaws. Mick Foley's wearing a blue shirt.
I know. Yes, of course, the noted blue shirt.
Did you think the crowd was weird in that match?
How so? In which way you mean?
So there's a little wrestle open with Mick Foley and Road Dogg, which I was like, hell yeah, I'm actually here for this. This is pretty great. And then Rock gets tagged in and the crowd comes up, right? But then ev but even during like Foley's open with Road Dogg, there were some moments where I felt like the crowd should be coming up and they don't. And then after The Rock gets that initial pop and he comes in, The Rock's firing up and they're not with it. And I'm like, what's going on here? Why is this crowd real weird for this one?
Okay, weird in that way. Yes, I agree. I think, and it's weird because I want to say, I think they were the hot opener.
No, they weren't. They were like middle of the card.
Then I don't know. I remember one of them ones, they were like an opener and I was like, oh, wow, that's odd. Or no, I know what it was. It was first on a playlist. But yeah, no, I thought they were a little weird. But I thought it was a little weird because maybe the crowd figured out what I figured out. Once Mick Foley put on a chin lock and like, yeah, I'm there for it. But it was like, oh, this match is going to go long.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know what I mean? It is one of their longer matches.
Oh, for sure. Outside of like the Dudley's one, which restarts the Outlaws, that Outlaw pay-per-view match.
Stuff too, yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of like the format. They do a little wrestling, and then Billy Gunn and Rock do a little ha-ha. Then it breaks down, and they brawl, and Billy Gunn takes a hip toss from the crowd to ringside, which was awesome.
Oh, no, yeah. I totally agree. But I think it's fun when you're doing a tape study like this. I feel like it might have been weird for the crowd being like, you know what I mean? I'm sure the crowd just wanted 7 minutes of fury and, you know, just big moves, and all of a sudden they get a chin lock, and they're going, I think the match time or the time on the thing said like 19 minutes and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and maybe they were like, okay, any minute now Rock and Billy Gunn are gonna go a million miles an hour, and they never did.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I think that maybe threw the crowd off. So yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought you thought they were acting weird. I was like, yeah, they were weird in that they were a little sitting on their hands.
Yeah, for things that like you would think, like when Foley starts like giving him the business in the corner, I'm like, oh yeah, the crowd should be, nope, they don't, nope, they don't care. Okay.
Yes, and I believe, let me see, yep, that match finally, it was the first one in the Rock and Sock connection where we get a wedgie driver, as I call it.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that was the first one we saw that. I actually didn't realize how often Foley actually did the double arm DDT, but he does it in I think every match.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised. I think that was more so a thing at that time. He was doing it every match kind of thing.
Okay. Val Venus tries to take it on his head, which was wacky. Road Dogg takes a real good one. Road Dogg kind of takes that cane bump where he puts the one knee down, but he always took the double arm really well. Anyone who took it flat is a crazy person because your arms are locked up.
Yeah, but no, I agree. The Val Venus one was a little dirty. I was like, ooh, all right, Val.
Yeah, Val was going for it. You know what my favorite Rock spot is?
What?
I call it the delayed Luger.
Oh, well, like where he takes it into the corner?
Where he gets beat down in the corner, and the guy takes a couple steps away from him, and when the guy turns around, he explodes out of the corner with the clothesline.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rock, I was, okay, let's get into him and his work, because I was like, all right, first couple of matches, it just seemed very paid by numbers, but then I was like, okay, he does have different things, but I feel like, and I think it was just because he was skyrocketed to the main event, like, he very much just wrestles the main event style, like, and that's it. There's not much deviation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he definitely has his things.
But, like, even his sell, he sells on the run like he's the Undertaker.
Yeah, true, true.
You know what I mean? I was like, okay, that's a main event thing. And then, you know, all his stuff is very, comeback is very Hogan-esque and it's syncopation. And I was like, okay, he's very main event style. But I was like, boy, he doesn't do anything other than, like, even though in some of these matches he does have dips and doodles to it, but it's still always the same genre, if you will.
Yeah, no, I can see that. The more I kept watching The Rock, the more I hate The Rock punches.
But that's the thing. Once again, all his stuff, main event, all his stuff's big. If he throws a kick, it's got that first like double clutch before he kicks you. Punches are all big. Everything's all main event. I was like, or maybe that's just growing up with a dad who wrestled in the 70s too, a little bit the same style. You know what I mean? I don't know. But I was just like, okay, yeah, he definitely does that and that. Yeah.
I could see that. But I mean, let's be honest. Most of these matches were the main event of whatever show they were on for the most part.
Okay, yeah. Let me get to that. One of the things I noticed real early on, I was like, boy, these matches, like, Okay, we watched, you know what I mean? Okay, we've covered Attitude Era teams, if not more than one. We've covered a bunch who've all rubbed shoulders with The Rock in some way before. But for some reason, this felt like I was watching a different era. And I was like, oh, no, it's not a different era. I've watched this era. This I'm just watching the main event, which is very different than the mid-card. I was like, it took me aback when I realized it.
No, you're right. You're right.
You know what I mean? Because, like, this, like, when I'm watching it, despite the work rate or whatever, all the matchups felt fresh and everything felt new and everything felt electric. And I was like, okay, is that just because of it's caught in, like, the gravity of The Rock? And I was like, it's a little bit, but I was like, no, it's just because, like, everything, it's all main event guys. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not always main event guys, but it's usually a main event position, you know, and Rock and Sock together, the Rock and Foley together were, like, you know, they were both main eventers, both former world champions, like, coming together. So it has that, once again, that mega powers effect and that mega powers feel where, you know, it takes any match they do up into, like, I guess that style of match.
Yeah, no, definitely. That was the thing. And I was like, okay, love them or hate them. I go, here's the thing. Like, they're both technically like Mount Rushmore guys, possibly. So I was like, okay, of course the matches are going to be good. You know what I mean? Of course they're good at what they do, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Dudley Boys match is some straight classic Rock on the microphone shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I thought you were also going to say classic Attitude Era overbooking. But not even really, man. Like, even the Armageddon match had a crazy two-running dog and pony finish. False finishes before they got to the weird fuck finish. You know what I mean?
And oh, then yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought you were going to say that for that other one, because that also one also had a big dog and pony show at the end, too.
I forgot the Outlaws one had that really long, kind of awesome finish, because they have Rock disappears, and then it looks like Foley's just going to get beat because he got hit with the head first, and then he gets hit with the bell, and he still kicks out.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good.
Oh, no, I know. They definitely – that one was really good, and that's why, you know, it went 19 minutes, so I was like, okay, that's fine. At least it paid off, and that's, once again, pay-per-view. So I was like, okay, they showed they are a tag team that does have another gear.
Yes, just barely, and only probably because it was with the Outlaws, but yes, they do.
Exactly, that's the thing. They don't have many pay-per-view matches to draw from, and yeah, their other matches are mostly main events, so it's not that far off, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I with this team, this is another one that I kind of was like, I feel like I should just go back and watch some random wacky segments. I feel like that'll give me a better picture of the team than watching them actually wrestle.
Oh, no, I enjoyed all the pre-match promos is what got me. So I was like, all right, this counts. I don't, like, I too thought about that, but I was like, well, we're going to get promos, so that counts.
Oh, yeah, we get the, like I said, the Dudleys one is full of classic Rock. And we have the Dudleys with, I forgot their old catchphrase about thou shalt not mess with the Dudley Boys.
That, and we also had the bubba phase.
But then Rock cuts it off in classic Rock form, and it's a hot start to a match, which, as we know from talking about the Dudleys,
right,
they always hot start matches.
Exactly. Yeah, I noticed that too.
I was like, as they're coming out to the ring and they have microphones, I was like, oh, this is going to get cut off before they finish whatever they're saying, because you know that's how the Dudleys start matches.
Well, yeah, and of course they had to ask a question to find out, and it doesn't matter what their answer is.
And then Triple H comes out, and we get a solid Rock Triple H back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought I knew something was up. I go, oh, they did a very unnecessary DQ just so Triple H could come out and go, it's no DQ. I'm putting the screws to you. Ha, 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 ha.
Well, I also, on Cage Match, it said the match was like 16 minutes, and I was like, that DQ is definitely not 16 minutes worth. Oh, okay, here we go.
Okay, wait, is that the one? I gotta find. There's a match where it has some dog and pony show, and it just ends, and I was like, who won, why, when, where, or how, or why? I have no idea.
Well, this one had Al Snow and the Mask come out, and then they rough up Al Snow and the Mask. And then they just win after already losing the match.
Yeah, no, I remember that one. but yeah, I gotta look it up. There was one where I was like, it would have like a screwball finish, and you think it's a DQ, but then something happened, and I was like, and then like Rock gets up and then just leaves the ring, and I was like, was there a finish or a DQ in there somewhere? I'm not sure. I'd have to look deeper.
Oh, I kind of remember what you're talking about.
I just remember being like, wait, was there?
I think it might be the other Outlaws match, the in-between Outlaws match, the middle one.
Oh, no, no, no. It's the Bulldog Vetus match.
Oh, yeah, with the dog poop.
Yeah, there's, it's like, yeah, double arm DDT. They're brawling at ringside. They chase Val away with Mr. Socko. Rock comes in, slides in the poop, hits the rock bottom, goes for the elbow, does it, and then just walks away. And it's just over.
No, no, no. He doesn't walk away. What he does is he goes and poses on the corner and they play his music.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I was like, wait, he never pinned him. He rock bottoms him, acts like he's going over people's elbow, but Bulldog rolls off. He's like, I'm not going to elbow the poop. And then he just walks to the corner. And
that was awesome.
I was like, wait, what was the finish, though?
Cage match declares that match a no contest, for the record.
Oh, okay. I'll take that. I'll take that. But like, they didn't even announce it. In my head, I was like, wait, I don't get an explanation. It's just a rock pose. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And then we have Evolution at WrestleMania 20.
Which, okay, I watched with an eye for Mick Foley, because I remember, I feel like he says he had a bad performance and kind of buries it, and like he's not proud of it or something, or maybe I misremember. So I watched it and I was like, what is he pissed off about?
I was going to say, you have to be misremembering that, because I noticed how on he looks in that.
That's the thing. I watched it and I was like, wow, I feel like he thought he was out of shape and not good and dogged. And I'd said that, you know, he hadn't been in the ring in a while. And I was like, oh, is that why? And I was like, I don't know. He seemed fine to me.
I noted real early, already my favorite match.
Why?
Because Rock and Flair do their thing.
Okay.
Flair takes a backdrop and then a backdrop on the floor, immediately followed by a cactus elbow. And I was like, all right, here we go. This match is already the best.
Yeah, their last tag match ever had their best tag move ever. Because the only other tag move they do is that you put your foot up in the corner and they throw the boot in. They did that often.
I love how Foley would call for it, too. He would, like, tap on his knee for The Rock, and The Rock would always put the boot up anyways.
Rock would do it to him sometimes, too. But, yeah, I was like, oh, they wait for their last match. I go, okay, it's Mania. And I go, screw it. That was Ric Flair knowing it was Mania. Flair's like, give me a backdrop on the goddamn floor, and then you and your fat ass, you come elbow me, because I don't like you, because I think you're just a gimmick wrestler and blah, 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 and all that stuff. But, yeah, it was dope. Okay, which brings me to something I noticed about the beginning of the match. I say the first half of that match is really enjoyable because it felt like it was organic. The first half of that match very much feels like, okay, three guys sat in front of two guys and were like, all right, what can we do? Hasn't wrestled in a while. He's old. He's big and green. He's Randy Orton. You know what I mean? Like, and it all just felt very organic. The second half of the match becomes very much a WWF Mania match. But I was like, wow, I was surprised how like it just felt like guys working for like the first half. And yeah, I also enjoyed the first half as well.
Yeah, and so this is what year, 2004?
Yeah, WrestleMania 20.
How long has Batista been around at this point?
Not too long. A little bit, but not too long.
I thought Batista was going to be glaringly bad, but he was really good.
Well, and also, because once again, there's method to the madness. It's basically just Rock and, well, he's Mick Foley in this match, just shining, but not really on Batista. They just keep, like, knocking him off the apron. He then becomes he's the difference maker. He's the one that puts the cutoff. He cuts off Rock, put a little heat on him. He's the one that causes the cutoff on Mick, who eventually does a lot of fighting back because he's got issues with Flair and Orton and yada yada, and they do a bunch of brawling on the floor and stuff. But I mean, he's the big difference maker. So I don't know if that's necessarily hiding him or accentuating him or both.
Well, I thought, I don't know, because he's so big and because, you know, he was greener, but his bumps are real crisp and tight. I was like, oh man, look at Batista. He was looking good.
Yeah. Yeah, I spied, though, with my way too know too much eye. I was like, he messed up. He was supposed to feed for the Rock's tornado, you know, the clothesline around other gimmick. And the Rock's just like, nah, screw you. Just kicks him in the gut. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I and he like turns around through. I was like, maybe he didn't know what the spot was. Maybe he was literally like, he can plead ignorance on this one and be like, I didn't know what you were talking about. I thought I did.
Or it also could have been Rock forgot. He tried to get to it, and then Rock was like, nah, I'll just DDT you. It's fine.
And Rock, surprisingly, in not that great shape here. I'll say it.
What do you mean, like, okay, like wrestling-wise or looking on TV-wise?
Looking on TV-wise. He's a little deflated. He's not as big and Rock-like as he was before or as he eventually became.
Well, because isn't this Disney Rock?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he's on Witch Mountain. He's trying to be skinny and not be too bulky. He wants to fit in with Hollywood. Then he realized, nah, I'm just going to be twice the size of everyone in Hollywood.
Yeah, you could. His pecs were like smaller. He was, yeah, he still did not look. Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little scragglers up there, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was very much as I call Disney Rock when, yeah, he was just getting into Hollywood and was like, no, I got to be small and fit in. I don't want to be too much bigger than Tom Cruise or whatever, you know what I mean, even though he's twice as big. But now he's four times as
big. But, yeah, that Evolution match was actually a great one to end on. I am still surprised that there wasn't other tag matches that just, like, randomly happened on a Raw one time and, like, you know, the next in, like, 2000 sometime or whatever.
Oh, you mean then? No, I knew they only had, like, their tag run was their tag run. But, yeah, like, it's weird. You say the random. You know what their random one was? Their random one was, like, would be, like, the Taker Big Show. Yes, it was for the title, but, like, that was the most random, matchup of all of them.
Yeah. Oh, they did have a Buried Alive match with Taker and Big Show that I did not watch.
Oh, really? I didn't even see that. Honestly, I didn't even see. What was the other one? You said you saw one with Albert and someone?
Albert and Boss Man.
How was that? I didn't see that one, or maybe I missed it. I don't know.
It's like 2 minutes long. You didn't miss nothing.
Oh, dang. I was going to say, because, yeah, I was looking for weird ones like that, too. Like, or I'd see a weird one, and it was like, oh, no, it's like a multi-man. I was like, oh, dang.
Yeah, there's a Buried Alive match with Taker and Big Show on a SmackDown that I almost watched, but I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I've watched pretty much their entire run. I am not digging into a Buried Alive match.
The funny comparison I thought of when I thought of them early on was I was like, technically speaking, they are the highest rated tag team we've ever covered. And I was like, but not in the way we're talking about the Holy Demon Army. I'm talking about ratings on TV because The Rock or Mick Foley or Rock, This Is Your Life by Mick Foley was the highest rated TV wrestling segment of all time. So I go, all right, well, this team's definitely up there in the annals of teams because they're the highest TV rating team of all time, basically.
Yeah, and that segment was a Rock and Sock connection, them as a team segment.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, I'm sure even like, and plus it's 99, the business is on fire and Rock's on fire, Mankind's on fire, you know what I mean? But in my head, I was like, oh, what was the last time? I go, oh, what was the other team we said was the highest rate? I go, oh, Quad and Tawe. I go, those are very different ratings. Those are our Snowflakes. This is in Nielsen ratings. I go, still though, they're very comparable and very important to wrestling. Hell, the Rock and Sock one may be more important.
Yeah, no shit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's do it. What would you say made the Rock and Sock connection so great?
It has to be what I said earlier. And it's same thing with Mega Powers. When you have not one, but two potential Mount Rushmore guys together, there's no way. I don't see how it could be bad. Like, I'm sure you could put two top guys together and probably have some, be a stinker team. But I don't know. So far between them, Mega Powers, like, they're so good as singles, there's no way they could really fail as a team. But no, in this day, once again, I was surprised at how well they ended up meshing in my eyes because I was like, I thought it was going to be like one hardworking guy, one lazy guy. And I was like, no, they ended up, you know what I mean? They didn't rest on their laurels. They were both working really hard because once again, the business was on fire. And that's why you get two Mount Rushmore guys at the peak of the business and they're thrown together. It's totally Attitude Era Mega Powers.
Yeah. And the one other thing that I would add that made them great was the team dynamic of like The Rock is ultra mega cool and like Mankind was just like cool to be his partner and like you know was like the nerdy kid who like got to hang out with the cool kid.
Oh, yeah. Their dynamic was maybe one of the most unique of all time.
Yeah, so while they were the Mega Powers, like, Mega Powers were, like, same level, like, they were both, like, the tippy top, whereas the Rock and Sock Connection just had that fun dynamic that worked. Like, at times, like, Foley would be, like, they'd be brawling, and then Rock would just, like, go to the corner and be like, yep, I am the Rock.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I'm saying. They both had their own very different individual swag going on 11.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. And now we get to the part where we discuss how we would defeat The Rock and Mick Foley.
The only thing I could think of is we'd have to go after Mick Foley. I'm sorry, Mankind. I'm sorry, Sock part of The Rock and Sock, but like, Rock is at his peak, and Mankind is also at his peak, but Mankind has also wrestled in thumbtacks and barbed wire and C4. Like, he's just way more broken down. I'm sorry. You just have to, you know what I mean? You just got to play the averages. I'm sorry, Mankind.
Yeah. So I agree. I think at the end of the day, we would have to win by getting them disqualified, or we would have to win, but then the decision gets reversed anyways, and they somehow win, because that's just how this went.
The Rock is susceptible. When he gets angry, he will chase you anywhere. So we need you to get Rock real angry, have him chase you to the back, and then I got to pull some shenanigans. And I feel like a Mick's probably susceptible to some sort of a roll-up type thing, just because, like, A, he's a big man. And C, he's physically a little hurt and beat up at this time. So I don't know if he can get out of like a prawn hold or something. You know what I mean?
I would love to see you prawn hold Mick Foley.
That's right. I don't think he can get out of my prawn hold.
I wish I could draw. I want to etch a picture of Cheech with Mick Foley in a fucking prawn hold.
All right. That's how I say we beat him.
Well, we've done it. We have gotten through the Rock and Sock Connection. I thought this one would be a little shorter, actually. I was like, going into this episode, I was like, this one might be one of the shorter episodes, but it's we're ringing in right around the same same bat time, same bat channel.
Yeah, because you know why? Same thing happened with the Mega Powers. Not a ton of matches, but once again, the gravity of the individuals we're covering just encompasses so much, it requires a little extra talking.
Right, and that's why I made sure to note what type of footwear Mankind was wearing and what color his shirt was at times.
Yeah, you were definitely all about their, you know, superstardom and their footwear.
I had to write down some extra talking points just in case.
Okay, here's a weird thing I thought. Has there ever been a guy who's rocked kick pads with the cutout calves like The Rock? I thought that when I was looking at footwear.
Wow, so kick pads with the cutout calves.
Yeah, it makes no sense, but I was like, somebody's been dumb enough to try it.
I feel like that's that sounds like a female wrestler gear.
Maybe, but I just thought that if we're talking footwear, if we're going to bookend this with footwear.
All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to cut holes in the back of my kick pads.
Oh, God. No, I'm not saying you do it. I'm just wondering if anyone's been dumb enough to do it.
Oh, okay. I won't do it then. Oh. But yeah, that was it. That was the Rock and Sock Connection, and we've already chosen a team for next week.
Yes.
We are going to tackle the trio of the New Day.
Yeah, we kept trying to wrap our brains around it. There's no way around it. You got to go all three. So, yeah, we picked them early, so we got a full week to get all in. But, yeah, they got a lot. Once again, it's quite the trio.
Because if you're going to do the Freebirds, I mean, you can make a case that you can do just Hayes and Garvin, or you can do just Gordy and help me out. What's the
Roberts?
Other Roberts. You could do Gordy and Roberts. You could probably do a Gordy and Hayes, but like with the New Day, they've interchanged so many times and they've all had such success together that it's like, well, we might as well dive in and have some crazy discussion about them.
And that's the thing. If you're gonna get the true full flavor, you gotta cover all the permutations.
Yeah, so we'll end this week by saying that the Rock and Sock Connection rocks, and next week, the New Day will rock.
You know it. Until then, adios.
See ya.